Welcome to the June 20th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Today is both Father's Day and the summer solstice. The service is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and worship associate Ellen Plummer. The theme of the service is Playing with Words.
Good morning. I'm Reverend Pam Phillips, and I am honored to serve this congregation as minister. We are here in our meeting house on Gladewood Drive.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you express your identity, no matter where you are on your spiritual path, you are welcome here, and we are so glad to be with you. My name is Ellen Plummer, and I'm honored to be serving as the worship associate today for today's service with Rev Pam. If you are with us for the very first time, welcome. We are so glad that you have found us. Please fill out a virtual visitor's card located in the chat. There's a link in our chat. We'd be happy to keep in touch with you. You are also invited to stick around after service, when folks will go into breakout rooms for smaller group conversations, so we may have a chance to chat with you. You can also join a number of UUC groups virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Check out the events calendar on our website for times and Zoom links. And thank you to all of the wonderful volunteers who so generously make these activities possible. Later in today's service, we will be lifting up the joys and sorrows that we might be carrying with us. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you would like to have read aloud this morning, follow the link in the chat and let us know what's on your heart. Rev Pam?
Thank you. And I would like to lift up a few announcements today, especially one that I forgot to get into the video for the prelude, and that is that the men's group is meeting today at 11:30, and they'll be here on the picnic at the picnic tables on the grounds, but also on Zoom. I also want to let you know that today at 4 o'clock, everyone is welcome to come to the grounds for a UUC play day. I'll have some ice water for people to drink if it gets hot, and bring whatever kind of equipment you like to play with. I think we have a cornhole set coming, so that will be one game that you'll be able to play. Also, this week is the UUA General Assembly, and it's all online, and we have several delegates who will be voting on behalf of the congregation, but you don't have to be registered to do some of the events. So I encourage you to if you're interested in policy, you can go to the general sessions, but there's also some worship services. And the one on Thursday evening is a special one. It's a service of the living tradition. And in that, both Karen Hager, our outstanding director of Lifespan Faith Development, and I will be recognized, she for becoming a credentialed religious educator, and I received full fellowship, thanks to hard work of lots of people in this congregation. So we are having a celebration at 5 o'clock. There will be cake and lemonade in the Crescent Garden here at UUC. And then you can go home and watch the service of the living tradition at 7 o'clock online. So make sure that you check the announcements for the links for those activities. Oh, and the other thing is that there is a link, I think, in the chat for RSVPing for the play date today in case you are coming. And I'll turn it back over to Ellen for our chalice lesson.
Please join me in reading the words for our chalice lighting. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Our opening words today are by the Reverend Karen Johnston. On this day, on this Sunday, on this day like every other day, on this day which is its own day, there is a wide welcome for all to be here now. On this day, on this Sunday, on this day like every other day, on this day, which is its own day, we recognize the many and much of our lives. On this day, on this Sunday, on this day, like every other day, on this day, which is its own day, we say, hey, hey there, Pride Month, with the 5-year grief of the Pulse massacre and the 52-year heck yes of the Stonewall uprising. We love you and all your people, for you are our people in your lavish loving, your myriad identities and orientations and truths, which make the human family full, abundant, better. Hey there, Juneteenth, long time African-American holiday, now state, yay, Virginia, and federal, yay, USA, holiday, not just overnight, but after decades and decades of longing and organizing by Black elders, let us show them respect, for this truly is an American holiday of freedom and liberation. Hey there, Father's Day, we see you, fathers of all kinds, journeys outside narrow gender expression and refusals of toxic masculinity, as we raise up the radical idea that men have the full capacity, the full human capacity to nurture. Hey there, summer solstice, tonight, longest day of the year, late evening light as invitation to adjust our groove to natural cycles and ancient rhythms. May we accept your gift to claim our full participation in the interdependent web of all existence. On this day, on this Sunday, on this day like every other day, on this day, which is its own day, we say it is so very good that we gather together.
Before we read our covenant today, I want to invite us to play with those words just a little bit. Let's create a word cloud that will highlight the words in our covenant that mean the most to us, that resonate the most. On the screen, you'll find a web address where you can put one word from our covenant that either that feels like it's the most important word to you. I'm also trying to, here it is. I'll put it in the chat as well. So if you just click on the link in the chat that I'm just putting there, or you can take your phone and use your QR code reader and scan that code. And so as Ellen reads the Congregational Covenant, listen and read along to find the one word that you want entered into our word cloud. If there are more than one of you on a device, you can enter more words. You can enter a word more than one time. So I'm going to leave this on just for one more minute. Hopefully everyone will have a chance. And then I'll invite Ellen to read our covenant.
So our congregational covenant, the words of which are on our screen, we covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
So there are our most important words: kindness, respect, courageous love, compassionately, support, respectfully, people, welcome all, welcome, compassion. I love this kind of wordplay, don't you? So today we are playing with words. And Ellen and I found a story that we thought could help us play with words more. So Ellen, would you like to help me read a book about Wordles?
Pam, I would love to. Wordle.
Wordles are groups of words that sound exactly the same, but mean different things.
Give me an example, like what?
Ice cream and ice cream.
Indeed, those are phonetically identical phrases. Who made this book anyway?
Amy Krauss Rosenthal and Serge Locke.
Cool, do another one.
Heroes and he rose.
Fantastic, this is really cool. I'm ready.
Now remember, try to guess what the second Wordle is before we turn the page.
Ice cream, $2.
Ice cream, $2.
Reindeer.
Rain, deer.
Oh. Me, cloud.
Meek, loud.
I see.
Ooh, I see. I see.
Pants, knees.
Pant, sneeze.
Achoo. Sorry, no more funnel cakes.
Sorry, no more fun. Elk aches.
Who did it? Not her.
An otter? An otter!
Princess cape.
Prince, escape!
Close the wind, oh!
Close the window!
A napple do me good.
An apple doom me good.
A family affair.
A family of hair.
Peace mitten.
Peace mitten. And so ends our story.
One way our congregation puts our principles into practice is through collecting an offering that we share with other community organizations. This week, we will be sharing half of our collection with the Blacksburg Interfaith Food Pantry.
And here we go.
Sorry. The food pantry helps feed the hungry in our community and our surrounding area. There are several ways that you can give, either now or after the service. One way is to follow the link to online giving in the chat. You can also use the Give Plus app, or you can text FUND to the phone number in the order of service. If these tools are new to you, you can find more information about how to use them in the order of service and in the announcements. You can also send us an old-fashioned check. Please join me in accepting our offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Now I invite us all into a mood of meditation and prayer. Take a breath. Settle yourself in your seat. Maybe even close your eyes. Spirit of life. Spirit of laughter. We come together today as people who are weary from the world, who have had just about enough of what this past year and a half has had to offer us, and who are ready to move into a more hopeful future. Please be with us as we gather our strength and renew our spirits for the months ahead. Fill us with the joy that comes from acknowledging opportunities to celebrate, celebrating the fathers and father figures among us who nurture the young, who nurture us, celebrating the solstice and the beginning of summer, celebrating the first national holiday for Juneteenth, celebrating this whole month of Pride. Fill us with joy, but also fill us with gratitude for those who have nurtured us, for the earth and the sun that sustain us, for those who remind us of our history and call us to reconciliation, for those who call us to embrace all of who we are, reminding us that who we are is all of us, and us is all. Spirit of life, spirit of laughter, be with us today and always, helping us to find strength and renewal in joy and laughter. Amen. And blessed be. Now let's continue in a kind of meditation with our song, Let It Be a Dance.
Because of copyrights, the song itself is not included. I kept in the introduction because Rev Pam's comments following the song reference its title.
That song, Let It Be a Dance, seems so appropriate for us as we consider what it means to be a people of play. It reminds us that life is full of ups and downs, and we navigate it best when we embrace the darkness and the light, the deaths and the births, the rain and the sunshine, the pain and the laughter. But I wonder sometimes if when we hear that song, we focus mostly on the harder, the painful, the bad times. This month, as we consider what it means to be a people of play, we're invited to focus our attention on the good times, the joy and the laughter and the play. Your kind of play, the dad joke, and more broadly, playing with words. Already, we've played with the words of our covenant, with the word cloud, and read to get down to the nitty-gritty, to the dad jokes. I've noticed that the dad joke has become something of a thing. I don't remember it from my own childhood, but lately whenever someone posts a particularly silly and groan-worthy joke on Facebook, John Imber, I'm talking about you, they are called dad jokes. Preparing for today, I also found out that there are all kinds of theories as to why they are called dad jokes. One is based on the change in the role of fathers in the lives of their families, that fathers have moved from being far removed from parenting their children to becoming more involved and closer to their children. And joking is one way that they establish and maintain that closeness. Another theory talks about how fathers who feel that they are becoming more irrelevant to their aging children cling to the ways they were relevant before, with the jokes that their children loved to hear them tell when they were younger and less sophisticated. The children have grown past the jokes, but the fathers tell them again and again to bring back that sense of closeness. And then some others speak of the unsophisticated nature of the dad joke as a slam against fathers. This resonates as I think about all the dads in sitcoms today who are portrayed as lovable schlubs. Think Homer Simpson. But I prefer to think of them as wholesome and kind. Merriam-Webster defines a dad joke as a wholesome joke of the type said to be told by fathers with a punchline that is often an obvious or predictable pun or play on words and usually judged to be endearingly corny or unfunny. Emphasis on endearingly. This all feels a little too intellectual for a service on wordplay, though. Perhaps we should stop talking about the jokes and start hearing them. I invited members of and friends of UUC to share their favorite dad jokes for the service today, and I was not disappointed. During our last session of the Sacred Language and Sacred Translation class, Catherine Copeland shared that humor was an important part of her theology and shared the following. And I'm calling this the erudite joke.
It is better to keep silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
The saying was from Mark Twain, though it's been attributed to Abraham Lincoln. What I love, though, is Catherine's delight in the quote. And Ellen and I were intent on not making the dad joke a gendered thing, and we were intent on sharing jokes from people of all genders and ages. So I was really excited to receive this joke from Kendra McAllister of her daughter, Juniper, the knock-knock joke.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Waldo.
Waldo who?
Waldo, you need to go see a unicorn.
There you go. Now, Jean Gardner shared a long list of dad jokes, which the participants in our adult faith development class read aloud for me. But here is Jean with a head-scratching joke that hits way too close to home for me.
I used to think I was indecisive, but now I'm not so sure.
Does that resonate with anyone else besides me? You'll see as I share these jokes that I had a hard time choosing which ones to share. I love them all. Dad jokes often rely on wordplay. Sometimes it's the sounds of the words, like in our story and in these jokes. Here's the colorful joke.
Like, what's orange and sounds like a parrot? A carrot.
Here's another color joke. This is from Roan, I think.
What's a cat's favorite color?
What?
Purple.
Oh. Sometimes it's the meaning of the words, and the meanings of words change with time. What do we do when old meanings don't apply? Here's Stephen Henninger with a vegan joke.
When two vegans get into an argument, is it still called a beef?
Another hallmark of dad jokes is that they are suitable for all ages, for the youngest among us. But apparently that is not always true. Consider these two jokes about golf.
Golfer joke. Why do golfers wear two pair of socks?
Why?
In case they get a hole in one.
Oh,
that's a dad joke. Come on.
It was a dad joke. That was Jay. And here is Leslie Hager-Smith.
It takes a lot of balls to golf the way I do.
I have to admit, I didn't get the punchline to that joke until I heard it read aloud. Just goes to show that sometimes a joke doesn't work unless you hear it out loud. Which brings up the point that the same joke can have a different effect depending on who is telling the joke and how they are telling it. Don't these two different tellings feel just a little different?
I was addicted to the hokey pokey, but then I turned myself around.
I was addicted to the hokey pokey, but I turned myself around.
That was Nancy Bodenhorn and Jean again. Really different, isn't it? The same is true of this joke, which two members of our AFD class were tickled by. Listen to the way they read the joke. Both are funny. All right, Leslie, which one are you laughing at?
Exercise? I thought you said extra fries.
Sometimes they do bear repeating.
Exercise. I thought you said extra fries.
And sometimes jokes turn us upside down and inside out with just a single line. Listen to how man's best friend takes on a whole new meaning. This is Jean again.
Outside of a dog, a book is man's best friend. Inside of a dog, it's too dark to read.
Oh my gosh. Apparently, many dad jokes operate on anti-humor or the deliberate denial of a clever punchline. Like, what did the farmer say when he lost his tractor? Where's my tractor? Such is the case of a joke that tickled Joe Evans' funny bone in this joke. I'm calling it the mortal joke. Who's Joe?
I'll never forget my grandfather said to me on his deathbed, he said, "Why did I buy a deathbed?"
And apparently some dad jokes are not as obvious as others. I thought this next joke was hysterical, but apparently one needs to be an English teacher to appreciate it. Oh, I like this one. I bought the world's worst thesaurus yesterday. Not only is it terrible, it's also terrible. Oh my gosh. It's funny, right? Whether you think any of these jokes were funny or not, I suppose is not the question. What I'd like to suggest, though, is that the wordplay we've been engaging in today is one way we can revive, rejuvenate, and renew our spirits. We've all been through a difficult time this past year. We owe it to ourselves to become a people of play, to embrace the joy of even the most corny of jokes. And they are not just dad jokes. They are jokes that we can enjoy no matter our age or our gender. Here's Vesper. Oh, I like this one. I bought that one again.
What do you call a pirate's wife?
What?
Peggy.
They are jokes that we can appreciate or groan at no matter where we come from. This joke was supplied by Doug Pfeiffer, and we'll see how well Jamie does with the accent, the orthographic.
The number of L's in a word is important to the meaning. Llama with one L, a one llama is a Himalayan white. A two llama is a South American animal used to carry goods and provide fur. A three llama is a wicked big fire in Boston.
Could you? Why do we laugh? Oh, anyway, what's most important is not what the jokes are or why we laugh, but that we laugh. And here's one final joke from Leslie.
I like that. I got a new pair of gloves today, but they're both lefts, which on one hand is great, but on the other hand, it's just not right. Why are they so funny since they're such bad jokes?
Why do we laugh? Does it matter? More important is that we do laugh, that we become or practice being people who play. Andy Otto, a spiritual director, writes, "Religion today is losing its mysticism. This is probably why we find many Westerners looking to the spiritualities of the East. Let's see another side of spirituality." He recently discovered this parable, once shared by Anthony DeMello, who was a Jesuit. Here's the parable. The master once referred to the Hindu notion that all creation is lila, God's play, and the universe is his playground. The aim of spirituality, he claimed, is to make all life play. This seemed too frivolous for a puritanical visitor. Is there no room then for work? Of course there is, but work becomes spiritual only when it is transformed into play. Andy Otto goes on, for many of us, play is something that comes after the seriousness of spirituality, religion, or prayer. It is outside of our work, our religious practice, and even our relationships. But play involves the tapping into something deeper within ourselves. When we play, we discover joy and allow ourselves to be vulnerable. Why must our religious practices or relationships or work be rigid and cold? The answer is that they don't have to be. When we play, we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And being vulnerable helps us to be in relationship. Ashley Spinks Dugan shared this touching story about her courtship with her now husband, writing, "Josh and my first messages to each other on a dating app were an exchange of our best jokes. He had this joke on his profile. Why did the jalapeno need a jacket? He was a little chilly." And Ashley messaged in this joke in response. "Why are peppers so nosy? They get jalapeno business. I can't do it." She writes, "He must have liked it because he texted me back and the rest is history. They got married." Talk about being vulnerable. So, being a people of play means being vulnerable, being in relationship. Oh, I forgot one more joke that I got. This one was from David Warner. "How many surrealists does it take to change a light bulb? The fish." Okay. I'm not sure what that means, but it's funny. So let us practice being people of play. Next week, we'll be gathering for the General Assembly worship. So this is the last time I'll be in worship with you in person. Well, I'll be here in person, and I hope that you all come. And then I'll be on vacation, study leave in July. So I just want to say, I'll miss you. And we will extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the fire of commitment, and not the warmth of community. Let us take that in our hearts until we are together again. Amen and blessed be.